I'm going to take a look now at the resources that are available to you through the USDA's Rural Development Program. Stan Grzynski is the Wisconsin State Director for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Rural Development Program. Carol Witowski is the Area Director for the Dodgeville Area Office of USDA's Rural Development. So great to have them with us today. And certainly as we move along, I hope you will join in with your questions and comments. You're a rural resident. What are some of the challenges you see facing your community and perhaps your family? And maybe you've participated in the USDA's rural program. And when we're talking about rural, we're not just talking about farm families here, but I think anybody who lives in a rural area. And by the way, Stan, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us today.
It's nice to be here. Thanks for having us on, Larry. I appreciate it.
And Carol, thank you for coming by as well. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Maybe the way to start this is to give us a general overview of the program and how it might apply to people here in Wisconsin.
Sure. Well, we've been around actually since 1949, Larry. It was what we fondly refer to now as the old Farmers Home Administration. I hate to talk about it because that's when I was born, so I guess old is applicable here. But in the 90s, they separated most of the farm and commodity programs from the rural development initiatives.
Yeah.
Because what the Farmers Home Administration was doing was not only making loans to farmers and working on commodities and farmers and rural communities, but the needs of rural communities grew so much that they created a separate agency, Rural Development, to address infrastructure needs in rural communities, water and waste programs, community facilities, firehouses, senior centers, multifamily housing, single-family housing, and now energy and broadband are included in the under the umbrella of rural development. And so that's the part of the federal USDA agency that we're responsible for. And actually, we're one of the top states in the nation in terms of our business program leadership and the amount of loans that we make. We lead in a lot of other program areas as well. So Wisconsin has a solid foundation in terms of USDA rural development. We're pretty proud of that.
That's great. Well, Carol, what qualifies as a rural resident then?
As a rural resident, mainly we're looking at cities and villages, 20,000 and under. Some places we can go up to 50, but the predominant rule is 20,000 and under. So when we talk rural, you could also be in your small villages and your small cities out in our surrounding areas outside of the Madison, Milwaukee areas and still be considered in the rural area.
And housing, that's such a basic need for people. Home ownership, it's gotten, I think, a little bit more difficult this day and age for a variety of reasons. Does the Rural Development Program offer assistance in these areas?
Well, housing was really the outgrowth of the Farmers Home Administration,
right.
And those programs really grew. There are direct housing loans where actually the federal government is the lender to people in rural communities. There are also programs where we'll assist someone if they're low income with modifications to the home or septic systems or upgrading the energy efficiency. But the program that has really grown the last few years for us is what we call the Guaranteed Rural Housing Loan Program. And there we're working directly with banks. What USDA does is they come in behind a loan and guarantee to the lender that we will stand behind that loan after the application has been looked at and reviewed. And if they meet the standards, they're employed, they've got good credit, then they'll get the loan. And that program has put a lot of first-time home buyers in rural communities into homes. And incidentally, the delinquency rate on that program is very, very low. So our folks have done a good job overall, and it's a good partnership that we have with the banks to make that program successful.
We're talking today with Stan Grzynski and Carol Witowski, about the USDA's Rural Development Program. Certainly, if you'd like to join in with a question or comment, maybe you've been involved in one of those programs, or maybe you have a question about how your community might fit in and might benefit from them, I hope you'll join us. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org if you want to join in. And maybe, Carol, we turn to you for, all right, you're in one of the area offices, and Stan, there are offices.
We have six offices, and Carol, as you mentioned, is in the Dodgeville office, and that would include Dane County and a lot of this area of the state.
So I'm wondering what kinds of things, just as examples, what kinds of things might you be dealing with now in your area office?
Some of the things, you know, I could kind of touch base some of the things that we've been involved with and working with. One of the big initiatives is the Hodan Center, where we were helping in Mineral Point. The Hodan Center is where, when we talk about local foods initiative, it's a great resource for food entrepreneurship and getting food entrepreneurs started out, businesses. And we were instrumental in helping finance some of the equipment that went into that center.
I've actually interviewed the director of that center.
Terry, right?
Yeah, Terry. And he was quite pleased with the assistance that he's gotten. And frankly, that's a great thing.
And, you know, that's a good jumping off point, Larry, because we just met with them recently. And people don't know this, but what they're looking at in terms of this local food production isn't just affecting these few counties in that area. This is a broad swath all the way from Minneapolis to Chicago has an interest in food production in southeast Wisconsin. If they can get these local foods initiatives off the ground, and they're going to do that because they are off the ground in some areas, it's really going to create new opportunities for our local farmers and growers and producers and processors and otherwise. And that's the emphasis that our national office, Secretary Vilsack, has really been trying to stress, is that what we need to do is create sustainable rural communities, that if we're going to have a future, and he believes we can have it, then we need to kind of retool how we handle agriculture in rural communities and how we get the most value out of that agricultural dollar by processing and selling locally. So the Know Your Farmer, Know Your Foods initiative, which has come out of the national office, is one that's a good fit not only for southwest Wisconsin, but we're hoping to expand it to other areas of the state as well.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, Dan in Eau Claire has a question for you, so let's go to Dan. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Yeah, thanks. I'll take my question off the air, or my answer. I want to start my own beef operation, and just wondering if there's financing or grants or anything that would go with that. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Well, if you're talking about agricultural production, then you should contact your local farm services agency office in your area, and I believe they have one, if this is correct, Carol, in Eau Claire, because if you're looking for a loan to get started in agriculture, then you would talk to the Farm Services Administration. If, in fact, you want to take that beef and process it, and you're looking at building a processing facility or otherwise market it, then we could help you in rural development either through our business loan program or perhaps our value-added agricultural grant program.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling. So the FSA might be the place to go as a first stop here, as Stan was pointing out. Well, let's talk about some of the challenges for rural residents that they face. You know, we've got geographically they're further removed from many of the resources that urban dwellers take for granted. You know, sometimes it's health facilities, it's childcare, it's job locations. How is the USDA able to assist on these issues?
Well, you're right on, Larry. The sad thing about rural communities is, for the most part, they're relatively invisible. I mean, most of what gets observed is in the urban areas. But the fact of the matter is, rural communities were hit hard by this recession. In many cases, it was devastating to families and even small businesses. And that's where we come in. While there's an awful lot of time spent these days, you know, focusing in retrospect on who did what and why and to whom, the fact of the matter is we realize that as a federal agency, our responsibility is to build the future. And so, you know, as we look at what has happened. In Wisconsin, we've spent over $600 million on American Recovery and Reinvestment Act monies. Those went to projects as varied as, you know, community facilities, to dams and water and waste treatment programs. All of that creates jobs. But we've also used that money and money in the value-added program to help create new jobs in rural communities. I'll give you an example. We just celebrated some of this because, incidentally, we led the nation in terms of the value-added grant program last year. We're pretty proud of that. But we have a co-op, a small milk-producing co-op in Westby. They found a market for cottage cheese, for organic cottage cheese in New York. We were able to help them with a small grant, finance the startup of that, and they're really doing well. And
That creates
jobs, you know, using Wisconsin products to move it along. Now, when you talk about housing, you know, a lot of what has happened with this whole housing debacle is that housing is more difficult to find. So our multifamily housing units become critical in rural communities. And you cannot go to many rural communities in Wisconsin where there isn't a USDA multifamily housing unit either serving the elderly, the disabled, or lower-income people. So it's those sorts of things that we try to do in communities. Work with local people, find out what the needs are, work with local elected officials so that we can begin to rebuild the infrastructure, make the investments necessary to create jobs and create a future.
We have Larry and Osseo on board here. Larry, hello to you.
Yes. I'd like to ask a question. If you guys ever start up any broadband or high-speed internet facilities, we live in the area north of Osseo, south and east of Augusta, and Century Link Telephone Company, I've contacted them a number of times. They won't do anything because its population is not dense enough there. Mm-hmm. And I've tried TCC, which is a telephone cooperative in Strum, and a number of other sources that possibly could build something in there, and nobody will.
All right, you haven't had any luck. Okay, well, let's turn to Stan. What do you think, Stan? Have you ever worked with that?
Actually, broadband and that sort of technology is a priority of Secretary Vilsack. It's one of what he believes to be the pillars of the rebuilding of rural communities. And so they're looking at working with these smaller telecoms and others in rural communities to develop broadband capacity across the country. We're not doing as much as we would like to be doing because there simply aren't the resources. And that's why the considerations in Congress right now are so critical. If you're going to have viability in rural communities, if you're going to attract small business, if you're going to make them sustainable, they have to have the same access to world markets that other businesses have.
And we'll talk some more about that. Take a quick break for the news, and we'll be back with our guests. Stay with us. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look today at the resources available through the USDA Rural Development Program. You may not be aware of the large number of opportunities, financial and otherwise, that are available to you through this Rural Development Program. If you live in a rural area, certainly this program could be of great assistance to you. Stan Grzynski is the Wisconsin State Director for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Rural Development Program. Carol Witewski is the Area Director from one of the six areas. She's in the Dodgeville Area Office of the USDA's Rural Development. So great to have Stan and Carol with us today. If you have questions for them or comments, maybe you have a question about something you've been thinking about or your community's been thinking about might be a place to go for help, is the USDA's Rural Development Program. So give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. And Shay in Seneca has been waiting a while. So let's go to Shay. Hi, thank you very much for calling.
Stan, I just think maybe have a suggestion for the USDA. My wife and I, we have a rural development loan that we got 10 years ago, and we're very grateful for the program. However, when we did do closing on the loan, it was never discussed about paying back the subsidy of the loan. And we don't have a problem with paying it back. We just think there should be more disclosure. It should be on your statement every month. Because when we called in to find out about it, the gentleman we talked to said it's not uncommon for a person to be surprised after 30 years that they owe exactly what they paid for the house, if not more. So our suggestion would be to have a little more disclosure about repaying the subsidy on the mortgage.
All right. And Stan, go ahead.
Sure, Shay. Well, I appreciate that comment, and I will talk to the housing director about it. I agree with you. We should have disclosure. If it didn't happen, then I want to know why it didn't happen. Sometimes people, you know, take out loans, or we process these things, and if we're processing a lot of loans, it's easy sometimes to overlook the fact that people need to know exactly what they're getting into. It's why banks go over things with you when you take out a bank loan. So I'll make sure that we bring that to the attention of the housing program, and we address it, because we don't want these kinds of things to be happening. Carol, do you have anything that you might want to add on that?
Yes, and I will tell you, over the last couple few years, and I want to say probably about 5 or 6 years ago, we've come up with a new form that as we go through the loan process, and to make sure that people do understand the subsidy recapture and understand how that's calculated and how those formulas are through the beginning of the loan process, so they do have an understanding. But we are working on addressing that, and we are trying to make sure that it's well communicated in the loan process.
Okay, so probably Shay got to his loan 10 years ago, and sounds like you've responded to probably concerns that others may have had. So, Shay, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And we have an email from Mike in Algoma. Can the agency do anything to help rural residents and business owners receive, this is decent internet service again, so we can go back to that. High-speed service is just a dream right now, and you were saying earlier, Stan, that this is a priority.
It's a priority, but the question is funding. If anyone is paying attention to what's going on in Washington, how we're going to fund our infrastructure is what is before the Congress today. So, you know, I would recommend that those folks who are interested in better internet service and ensuring that, you know, we have access to it in rural communities, then it's important to inform their elected officials that this is a priority for them. And I'm not saying that, we've got to use discretion. We cannot fund everything, and we certainly can't fund it all by next week. But I think as a nation, and here we're talking rural communities, as a nation of rural communities, we need to look at what our priorities are, what would help us most in terms of our being able to help ourselves. And I think one of the reasons that the Secretary Vilsack has put so much emphasis on broadband and the development of it and providing resources and infrastructure is because by doing that, then communities can begin to expand their job base and their business base and become more self-sufficient and self-sustaining.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have Barbara in Stoughton who has a question or comment. Hi, Barbara. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question for you about underground gas tanks. We have a small general store. I live south of Stoughton. We're about 70 people, and we need to replace the gas tank at the general store. Does USDA help with any of that?
I do not believe that we do that sort of remediation. Our stuff is primarily focused on business development, job creation, expansion of industry, and those sorts of things. I would guess if you have to replace these tanks, the place you should start, maybe I'm telling you something you already know, would be with the Department of Natural Resources and check with state programs to see what sort of assistance might be provided. I know a few years back there was a program available to help people replace those tanks.
Yeah, there was quite a, it was called LUST, Leaky Underground Storage Tanks.
That's correct. And the
acronym was LUST, and that was a few years back, but it'd be worth looking, and probably you're right. It's probably the DNR is the place, at least the initial place, I would think, Carol.
Also, tell her, you may want to check with the EPA. It's EPA.gov. They also have like brownfield funding and cleanup funding, and so they would be a great resource to follow up on for cleanup of tanks.
Okay.
EPA.gov or the DNR. And what was the program called? I'm sorry.
Well, it was at the time it was called the LUST, Leaky Underground Storage Tanks Program.
Okay.
And so there you have it. And by the way, you can join in. Maybe you don't have a gas tank that needs to be replaced, but maybe you've got another question relating to your business or your community and its businesses. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. There's a caller from Fort Atkinson that couldn't stay with us but wondered if you know if the proposed budget cuts will affect subsidies that seniors and disabled people receive for their housing. They're worried about losing their homes and so forth.
Well, unfortunately, Larry, I can't answer that. We're not even sure what's going to happen with our own funding. As you may know, I don't know if the public knows this, but we've been operating on continuing resolutions since the new Congress came into power, which makes it difficult not only for us to plan and to address the needs that are out there, but it also in some ways squanders resources because these communities are waiting. You know, it means that they're going to have more debt further down the road. It makes it harder for us to actually smoothly process loan applications and grant applications and those sorts of things. The last word we had is that on April 8th, we will either have a new continuing resolution or the government will shut down. Until they can get that resolved. My best guess, taking the information that I've gotten from our national office, is that we will operate on continuing resolutions or a resolution through the end of this fiscal year, which is September 30th, and we have no idea exactly how the Congress is going to resolve the budget ultimately for 2012. We're operating off of a 2010, Carol, correct me if I'm wrong, but a 2010 budget number now. And I can't speak to those cuts. I can only tell you what I've heard as it relates to rural development programming.
Let's turn to Bart in Sheboygan next. Bart, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. I had a question wondering if your guest knows of any information or resources that are available on specialty agricultural product markets in Wisconsin.
And yeah, go ahead, Stan.
Larry, I would think that your first stop should be the Department of Agriculture in Wisconsin. Check with them because I know they put some emphasis into marketing ag products, and they probably give you information on that. There again, if you want to check with the Farm Services Administration, that's federal. Look for an office in your area. I'm sure there's one in or around Sheboygan, they'd be able to tell you exactly what sorts of things are out there from the perspective of the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
All right.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 with your questions or email us at talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Energy is an area, I think, where there's going to be some emphasis, if I'm not mistaken, Stan.
Yes. Well, President Obama has made energy self-sufficiency and reliability a top priority. And obviously, if you read the news, energy is on everyone's mind all the time, it seems like. But in terms of Wisconsin, the Department of Agriculture is really focusing on the production of bioenergies, not only in terms of corn ethanol, but also looking at digesters for methane and using byproducts from wood and paper making and those sorts of things, corn stover to produce energy, seeds and otherwise for diesel fuel. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of people think, well, yeah, that's pie in the sky, that's not really happening. But the fact is, it is happening. Several of the value-added grants that we did in agriculture were related to energy production, energy conservation, and energy-related matters. So this is a top priority for the Secretary and the Department. Wisconsin is a prime state because of its agricultural history and heritage in terms of solving and resolving some of the issues related to energy. We're putting a lot of emphasis on that. One of the things that that's interesting is that while we're producing corn ethanol and we want to get that into the into the mainstream, it's very expensive to put in place these blender pumps that gas stations would need in order to make it available for the general public, which is why Administrator Judy Canales, she's the administrator in the National Office for Business and Cooperative Programs. She's coming to Wisconsin next week, Friday the 8th. We're having a meeting at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture from 9:30 until noon. We're going to talk about how we can do a better job of getting ethanol into the fuel stream and what sorts of help the U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Development can provide to assist small distributors and retailers with that issue. It costs about $100,000 on average to put in a tank and a blender pump so that they can do it. This is no small investment, especially if you're wondering if people are going to stop by and buy it. We're looking at helping at least with a percentage of that cost, but we really need the cooperation of the retailers and the business community, and I would encourage anyone that has an interest in this to attend that meeting, because Judy Canales is the person that's closest to Secretary Vilsack, who can then relay those concerns to him and actually fashion how we can address those kinds of issues.
And Stan, run that by again as to when she'll be here and where people could go to hear.
It'll be Friday, April 8th at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture. That meeting is from 9:30 until noon, I believe. That's what it's scheduled. It's open to the public, although we have targeted some of the folks that are in the industry and retailers so that we can answer their questions specifically and hopefully encourage them to participate in the program.
Let's take another call. Jerry in Ashland County will turn to you next. Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Oh, I was thinking about starting a strawberry patch. I got 10 acres up in north central Ashland County.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if there's any funding or anything available for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Stan.
Now, Jerry, I would talk to the Farm Services Administration. There's an Ashland office. Talk to them about what you want to do. This is considered agricultural production. So they would be able to at least get information to you on what might be available, and they'll, of course, want to know exactly what your plans are and how this will, ultimately generate income for you. I'm assuming you're doing it for the income, not the jam.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you want to produce jam, and the reason I'm going to mention this is because there are a number of communities where people are small producers, but they really can't afford the processing facility. Mm-hmm. And we have helped fund processing facilities now in several communities where people like, say you actually put this strawberry patch in place and you've got a good crop and you want to make some jam, where you can rent at a fairly reasonable rate some time in this production facility to process your jam, get it ready for market, and you don't have to have the expense of trying to do that all on your own. We're finding more and more that whether it's local meats or local vegetables or otherwise, we can add value to these things if people come together, well, frankly, the way they did in the old days,
right,
and work together on the processing and marketing of these goods.
And you really do support producer cooperatives and worker cooperatives, and that's a real point of emphasis, is it not?
Absolutely. In fact, a new cooperative, this was the first in the nation where we had a producer, a buyer and producer combined cooperative up in Eau Claire. It's a Sacred Heart Hospital, I believe, that's doing
yes.
it. And what they're doing is buying, this cooperative is buying and processing foods locally within a 50-mile radius. All the food that goes to patients at Sacred Heart Hospital is is grown, produced, processed within a 50-mile radius. That program is working so well that other states and other communities are actually looking at how that cooperative was put together and how it functions so they can replicate it. And those are the kinds of things that I think really hold some promise for the future for some of our smaller communities that can be productive, that have an agricultural base, they have families and people with know-how, and it doesn't take a lot of resources to put these sorts of proposals together. But it does take initiative, and it does take a willingness for people to kind of come together and work together, and that's what we try to promote.
We had an email from Karen who was worried we're losing some small farms in Wisconsin at an alarming rate, 3,000 in this economic downturn alone. For the long term, we need programs to help preserve agriculture land, and in the short term, help small farmers get through these difficult times. If we don't think about this, we will have no local food to promote. It's my understanding that the governor is not funding the program to help preserve farmland with the PACE program, and you may or may not know anything about this. The program helps farmers get through tough times with an infusion of cash. And are there similar programs on the federal level to help small farmers and preserve farmland? And I guess that's probably something for FSA, but you can comment.
That is for FSA, and I want to commend the Department of Agriculture in Wisconsin over the last several years. They've done a nice job of really trying to focus on the issues that this caller has raised. If we're going to continue to be an agricultural state, we have to have land to farm on. And we have to also understand that agriculture doesn't have one definition. It's not just a small farm. It's not just a 5,000 cow dairy farm. It's that and everything in between. And Secretary Vilsack has emphasized over and over, not only to those of us in rural development, but to the Farm Services Administration and NRCS, Natural Resources, other programs within USDA, that we need to find a way to sustain rural agriculture. There's going to be, if there isn't already, certainly a shortage of food in the future. We have the capacity in this country to produce and process food. We have a lot of know-how. We have a lot of people who are closely connected to and believe in local agriculture. So those are the sorts of things that we need to kind of build on to ensure that Wisconsin has an agricultural future, and we can do that by ensuring that we put in place the policies that will make that happen.
Absolutely. Well, for people who are interested, maybe there's actually we've had a lot of calls from people today. Well, what do I, I've got some land to do this, or I'm thinking about this business, or so forth. What's the procedure that a person goes through, or a group of people go through, to contact you or to put a proposal forward?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, Larry, we have six area offices. Probably the easiest thing to do, if you have a computer or if you're familiar with them, go to the library, get on a search machine, Google or whatever. If you bring up USDA Rural Development, you'll get the web page, and you can ultimately find your way to Wisconsin. You'll find the telephone numbers and the addresses of our local offices, as well as the FSA offices. That's a way that folks can reach us. But Carol and I earlier today were meeting with a group of people over in the Dodgeville area on these kinds of issues. Mm-hmm. They weren't all connected with USDA Rural Development. They were interested in economic development, manufacturing, those sorts of things. And what we're trying to emphasize is that there's no single solution to these problems. An important thing to do is to get to know your community. Not only talk to those of us who work with the federal government in USDA agencies, but talk to lenders and talk to your regional planners and your local community economic development authorities, because it's by bringing people together and kind of exploring possibilities for ideas that are out there. That's the way that we're going to then be able to decide, where we can place the resources and what gets us the greatest bang for the buck in a particular region of the state. And that's really what we're trying to do, so that we're not just the singular funding right. support mechanism for rural communities.
Yeah, I guess in this day and age, we need support from a number of partners to make things succeed.
Yes, and a prime example of that I'd like to talk about is the relocation of Gaze Mills. Mm-hmm. It's not just one agency. That's a perfect example of local. They had local investment as well as state. We had local nonprofits, but we had state-level agencies involved, and we had about two or three different federal agencies. So on something like that, and I've seen it also across the state on small scales, where we brought three different levels of funding in to make a project go. So it's getting to be more and more the trend, but it's a great way of getting involvement from all levels of government to support these projects.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, I'm really glad you were able to come today to be with us to talk about these programs. And the website, I guess if you just put in USDA Rural Development in Wisconsin, Rural Development Offices in Wisconsin, it's going to pop up in your search.
Absolutely. That's how I find myself sometimes, Larry.
Well, Stan, Carol, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it, and hopefully we can do this again.
Well, we'd like that very much. Thank you for your time, and I appreciate the calls.
Thank you so much.
Stan Grzynski is the Wisconsin State Director for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Rural Development Program. Carol Witowski is the Area Director for the Dodgeville Area Office of USDA's Rural Development. You got some ideas in mind, you might want to be getting online or getting on the phone maybe and talking to these folks, because they want to help. They're here and they want to help. So I think that's a good thing, and appreciate them being with us. Tomorrow's Garden Talk, and I hope you'll stay tuned and stay with us.